Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Thanks for being here, Randy.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be back.
You know, I know we teased our listeners last week with a topic of data loss legislation at the state of California that we wanted to chat about today. And I guess recently, California officials have received more than 800 reports of health data breaches in the first 5 months of the year since this new state law went into effect. Can you tell us a little bit about this state law and this legislation?
Well, California has long been, I think, for the U.S. on the forefront of saying, you know, if you lose someone's personal data, you've got to tell people about it. You've got to let them know. And putting some fines in there so that if people don't comply, it costs a lot of money is a really big stick, if you will.
Yes.
So, you know, it's unlikely that we would know nearly as much about lots of different breaches if it weren't for things like HIPAA and the legislation California has put into effect now. And I think it's going to actually end up being a good thing in that it's going to raise awareness. It's going to make these breaches hurt more. And so people are going to do something about it, and that should be increasing security, increasing the use of encryption so that this confidential data, if it's lost, at least it isn't breached. It's useless when it's encrypted. So hopefully this legislation will set a standard for other states, perhaps for the federal government, and get people to realize that when they have confidential information, private information from people, they have a responsibility to safeguard it. And currently, I don't think that's given nearly enough priority.
You know, many of those breaches included the divulging of Social Security numbers. And, you know, how secure are Social Security numbers, and why are they constantly required if they are pieces of sensitive information?
Well, Social Security numbers were never meant to be things like passwords. A Social Security number is a really, really bad password, especially right, since there have been millions and millions of Social Security numbers with the owner's names compromised in data breaches.
Yep.
So a Social Security number was meant to be a unique identifier by the government for, you know, Social Security retirement payments. But because it's a unique identifier, a lot of organizations that should never have used that decide this is the easy way to do it. So they use it. And as a result, many people have their Social Security number all over the place. It's in the hands of lots and lots and lots of different companies. Now, recently, the National Academy of Sciences published in the proceedings a paper called Predicting Social Security Numbers from Public Data. This is by Alessandro Acquisti and Ralph Gross. And they claim that the Social Security number is relatively quick and easy to guess if you have other information relating to the individual's place and date of birth, which place and date of birth, you know, go check a genealogy website.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it becomes a lot easier in smaller states.
So how, I guess, are, on that note then, Social Security numbers generated? And you'd think that they would be random.
Well, they aren't random. They've got algorithms. I believe the state that you live in determines the first three numbers of it. When you were born, where you were born, all go into the calculation of this number.
Interesting.
Now the Social Security Administration claimed that, you know, this paper was overstating how quick and easy it is to guess the information. But at the same time, they claim that next year they're going to go to a fully random Social Security number generation scheme.
Do you think that'll help?
It'll definitely help make them less predictable, which is a good thing. Although just a Social Security number alone, even a name and a Social Security number alone, isn't enough to do very much without other information.
So do you think it's okay then that we are, typically I would say, you know, most folks are generous when it comes to giving this information if required on some sort of document. I mean, do you think that's okay? Are we thinking that the Social Security number is actually more sensitive than it really is?
You know, it depends on how you treat your data as a whole.
Right.
So if you're pretty good about not divulging a lot of personal information, then someone guessing your social security number isn't really going to be a big deal. But if you've got enough personal information scattered across the web, it can all be collected fairly easily, and that might be enough to perpetrate identity theft. The social security number alone isn't enough for identity theft. Your mother's maiden name alone isn't enough for identity theft. Your place and date of birth alone aren't enough for identity theft. But you start putting all this stuff together, you know, get things like where you went to high school, you know, your challenge questions so that people can break into your email account that might have even more information. As an aggregate, then it starts becoming a bit troubling. So giving away as little data as possible is really a good idea. And, you know, a few months ago, I went to a store and paid with a debit card, and they asked for my phone number. And I happened to be looking at the cashier's screen, and there was a little note that said, if the customer doesn't want to give the phone number, enter 999-999-9999. So I said,
right, exactly.
I don't want to give my phone number. So just because someone asks for information, it doesn't mean they require it.
Yeah, no, very good point. And I mean, what is then if someone does, you know, get a hold of someone's social security number? I mean, what is something that they can do with it, or some of the most dangerous things that can be done with it? And if someone does receive notification that their social security number or personal information was breached, what are some of the first steps that they should take to protect themselves?
Well, the social security number alone isn't really a problem. A significant problem, I'll say. When I was in high school, my wallet was stolen. It had my social security card in it. And many, many years later, I get a letter from the IRS saying, you didn't report income from this job in that year. And I replied back and said, I never worked at that place. And during this year, my wallet and social security with social security card in it were stolen. So evidently, someone's been contributing to my social security retirement account. but alone, the social security number really isn't a problem. No one's going to do anything significant with it other than perhaps illegally obtain employment, which is one of the things that's valuable that, you know, for an illegal alien to have a social security number so that they can get a job can be valuable to them without significantly harming you anyway. But in conjunction with a lot of other personal information, then it can get really bad and can result in identity theft.
Interesting. And I guess, is there something that a person should do immediately if they are notified that their information has been breached?
Typically, if you get a notification that your information has been breached, it's a lot more than just a social security number, and frequently it comes with an offer for a year or two of free credit monitoring, which is a really good idea. It's also a really good idea once a year to go out to the credit reporting agencies where you can get a free copy of your credit report and make sure that everything's in order on that credit report, because that's one of the first signs that there might be a problem.
Interesting. Great. Well, Randy, this has been, you know, extremely valuable information on this topic, and we certainly appreciate you taking the time to chat with us about it further. If you have any questions for Randy, feel free to email him at askeset@eset.com. And you can also follow him on Twitter at ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams.